You're listening to Stand Out with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8 p.m. here on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. Before we start tonight, I just want to say a massive congratulations to everybody from Radio Kerry that won an IMRO award last Friday night in the Lyra Hotel in Kilkenny. There were some golds, there was silver, bronze and stuff, so all the winners and everyone who got nominated, a massive congratulations to all of you, and I'm delighted to be part of Radio Kerry and be able to work here in a great environment to everybody, so I'm willing to help, and they're so good at their job, everyone, so congratulations to everyone who won an IMRO award or got nominated last Friday night. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Standout with myself, Ian O'Connell, is Tara Howley. Tara is a prolific multi-award winning artist from Kilfenora in County Clare. Tara plays 14 different instruments, she's a singer-songwriter and composer. With a background in classical and traditional music, Tara's illustrious career is full with prestigious awards. For 7 years, Tara led In Riverdance, the Grammy Award-winning show, captivating global audiences. Tara has toured extensively across Europe, Asia, America, and Canada. Tara spends a lot of time travelling around the world with her music. Tara's dad, Padraig Howley, as well, he's a very good singer and plays a lot of instruments as well. It's something in the family that goes back a long time, and they've always been in the traditional music kind of scene growing up, so that's, I suppose, where she gets it from, her parents, and it runs in the family deeply. So I hope you all enjoy my chat with her tonight, and I'm delighted to get the chance to talk to her about her career and all of her success. So sit back and enjoy the show. Tara, thanks a million for joining me today. I'm delighted to have you on the show and have a chat all things about what you're doing now and your own career in music. So thanks very much. How's life with you?
Thanks very much. I'm delighted to be able to do this. I know we've been trying to plan it for a while, so I'm happy that it's happening.
No, thanks a million. I suppose it was, I met yourself and your dad up in Lahinch. It was just after COVID, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. What year was it? Was that 2021, I think, was it?
I'd say so, yeah, because it was just staycations were all the go.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. Do you remember when you had to pay €8 to go into a pub or something?
It was mad, and show your the agency app on your phone.
Yeah, oh my God, I forgot about the app. Oh, good Lord. They're just memories we've suppressed, aren't they?
I know, it's only when you look back now and kind of realise it's mad.
Yeah.
I suppose for the people listening that maybe haven't heard of your story and what you do, you grew up in Clare, I suppose, a little bit about your childhood. I know music was in the family since you were a very young age. What was it like growing up? Did you say camogie or anything as well, being from Clare? Was it all music?
So where we are in Clare, we're in a place called Kilfenora, and Kilfenora would kind of be known, I suppose, for the Kilfenora Ceilidh Band. So my two older sisters, Emer and Sharon, they play music as well, and they're part of the Kilfenora Ceilidh Band. And then I started dancing with the Kilfenora Ceilidh Band. So yeah, just music 24/7 in our house. I can never remember a day when there wasn't music being played. And my dad's a very good singer as well. There was just always music. And I think one of the things that I'm very grateful for is that mom and dad loved music as well. So they had such an interest to help us to do it as well. So practicing tunes and, you know, all the kind of stuff that kids don't want to do. I was lucky, you know, that mom and dad liked it. So they were helping us. That's, I suppose, what started my growth for Irish music and, you know, our culture. And it was always such a big part of growing up. And it's just remained to be a huge part of who I am today as well. So it's going to come full circle again.
Absolutely. Did you enjoy the academic side of school? Because I've said it on the show before loads of times that I'd rather have been outside with a footballer, a hurley or something playing sport. Were you Did you enjoy that side of school, or was it always kind of music?
We were actually having this conversation about school, and I was like, how, the system is definitely, it doesn't really cater for, let's say, the creatives that learn in a different way,
Yeah.
and I was definitely very, I would have to learn, I'd have to be able to see what I'm learning. So like if I'd have to draw graphs and I'd have to draw, even for maths and stuff, I'd have to be able to see how it was working. I'd have to write it down differently to everybody else. I was a strange child. In secondary school, then I started to I started to just really focus on music, and I was going down to Cork every second Friday to study classical violin in the Cork School of Music. So we did classical violin and piano, and then the rest of the instruments were trad. But on my way down to Cork, then I'd be doing my homework and studying for my tests. And I actually never even told my friends this, so you're the first person to actually know this publicly. So breaking the news here. But yeah, I never, that's how I was able to retain information. It was always through music, and it's the only way that I could try and learn things. So.
I'd be the same. Like, I'd rather kind of go hands on and do kind of like, I suppose, physical, or kind of just get into it, besides doing like paperwork. You know, like
Yeah.
that's how I kind of learn quicker, is by doing something. But everybody, I suppose, is their own way of
Everyone
learning.
has their own way of learning, yeah.
And you said about all the instruments there. Do you know, when you learn one, would it
Yeah.
make it easier to learn another instrument that might be a bit similar?
That's a good question, yeah. So I suppose it definitely helped that I had an understanding of, let's say, I had an understanding of what sounded right and what sounded wrong. So if I was to pick up an instrument and try and play the tune that I learned on the fiddle, on the whistle, the finger would be different,
Yeah.
the technique would be different, but I'd know what it should sound like. So it did help in terms of, I knew that, oh, that's wrong. Well, that doesn't sound good. But then some of the instruments are totally different. Like the alum pipes will be kind of similar to the tin whistle, but the fingers will be different, and all the technique of pumping the bag and everything. But it would help. It definitely helps that I had an understanding of different instruments to build up to be able to learn other ones. But it also, yeah. There's some are very similar, and then some are completely and utterly different. But it would help that I'm able to that I learned from an early age, so that kind of your brain kind of started to develop an
And I
understanding.
suppose when you are in school compared to now, like, you're obviously still in the industry, do you think that there's more opportunities for younger people now, even not even just in school, Tara, but in music classes in general? Do you think there's more for young people?
100%. The first thing that came to my mind there was there's a program now called Music Generation. So when we were learning, I'm 31, so when I was in school, there was no, let's say, program that you could learn music outside of school unless you went to individual lessons.
Yeah.
So now Music Generation is all over Ireland, and you can actually learn and go to classes for a lot. It doesn't cost as much as it did, let's say, because it's part funded by the government, which is incredible. And I think that has opened up so many doors for so many different people to be able to learn not just one instrument, but they might be able to go to three different lessons now. And I know we were very fortunate, like mom and dad, sacrificed so much, so much to give us what we had the opportunity to learn. And I'm very grateful for that.
Probably only looking back on it now, Tara, you're going to realize what they did
Yeah, what
for
they
you.
did and what they continue to do as well, but it wasn't like we had to travel like down to Ennis. Like there wasn't really many local people playing or where lessons were or stuff, what for the instruments I was playing, I mean.
Yeah.
So but now with Music Generation, as far as I'm aware, you can rent instruments as well. And na Pí Briallann, since I started playing, when I first started playing, and now na Pí Briallann have lots of different schemes where you can rent sets of pipes because pipes are extremely expensive.
Yeah.
So there are way more opportunities now. There's a lot more teachers in schools now that are doing music with kids, which I love to see. Even on my Instagram there, when I'd be posting videos, I'd have a lot of teachers and parents saying, "Oh, I'd love to teach the kids at school this." And I love seeing that. I love seeing that there's a teacher somewhere in Ireland that's going to teach, the kids the notes to Killa, and to me, that's something that I love, because that's so important for kids that play music to keep them. Obviously, they do their lessons as well, but they want to be able to play a tune that they hear on the radio. And that's another reason why, with my social media, I try to do a mixture of, Irish music, but also I play a lot of different kind of pop songs and stuff. When I was doing it, I remember like mom and my sister like got me the notes for like this Westlife song, and I was like, oh, I get to learn how to play a Westlife song. But I could only do that if I had practiced my other tunes. So it was like an incentive, be like, yeah, you can play this, but you have to do this practice. So I was like, oh my God. And then I was playing like Flying Without Wings and My Tin Whistle, thinking I was the bee's knees.
But even folk music and stuff, that's it is popular now
Yeah.
younger people, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really taken a huge revival, like Kingfisher and
Yeah.
Anvil, and they've really brought it back to, I suppose, if you, as you know, have you heard of Andy Irvine or Steve Cooney? Like, they were kind of, that was that kind of genre of folk music with the bouzouki, and that kind of was the music that we were reared on, I suppose. And now it's so great to see even, the Mary Wallopers, the Tumbling Paddies, they're all singing songs that are, coming back to the songs that dad sang for our entire childhood. And I love it, it's incredible. And it's really, really, it's so, like, it was not cool to play trad when I was in secondary school or primary school.
Today
Like,
it's changed
it
now,
was not
like, isn't it?
cool. It was diddly-dee. So anyone listening, if you want to annoy me, you can say it's diddly-dee. Please
Couple
don't.
of weeks ago in the INEC, Dan McCabe was there, and like it was just the whole audience, there was just silence, like when he was singing, like it was unbelievable.
Yeah, he's incredible, and his voice as well is just so rich in Ireland. It's
Yeah.
just, it's just a gorgeous, and exactly, and those songs, that a lot of the songs that he's singing as well are, they're going back to, and I think that's why we feel so deeply to it, because it's actually part of us. All of those
Yeah.
songs are part of our culture, they're part of our blood, they're part of our heritage, and that's so special that they're being sung and celebrated. And Maeve Walsh is another singer as well, actually, who covers a lot of those style of songs, and that, celebrating and remembering everything that Ireland went through and came out of. And yeah, it's class. It's really class to see.
100%. Your main instrument would have been the pipes, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I was doing a bit of research there. Was it a Kerry man that made yours?
It was indeed, yeah, a man from Ballyferriter.
And is it popular in Ireland? Like, is there a lot of people making them today?
There's a lot more people making them now than there was. There's a good, there's maybe, God, I don't want to give a number now in case I'm wrong, but there's a good few makers in Ireland. And there's a couple of makers in Scotland. And then there's lots of makers in America. When I say lots, I don't mean an abundance of them, but there's a lot more. And there's actually two makers in Japan that are making unbelievable sets of pipes. And the thing about these pipes is, Ian, they're not, you can't, how do I say it? Like, you can't bulk make them, because the pipes are so unique. They kind of have to be the reeds and everything to make the pipes have that kind of unique sound that the pipes have. It takes a lot of craftsmanship
Yeah.
and just the work that goes into making one set of pipes. You can't walk into a music shop and buy a set of pipes.
Really.
There's a waiting list. No, there's a waiting list for all of, unless you know someone who's selling a set of pipes, you can't walk into a shop and buy them. They're not there, because the maker, if you order a set of pipes, you might order, well, the pipes are kind of unusual. So the chanter is the thing that you play the melody on. So some chanters can be completely flat, kind of like a tin whistle, let's say. And then, but depending on the size of your hands, depending on your style of playing, some of the little holes for the notes have little grooves. And that, mine has grooves because I got the set. My hands would be, let's say, small,
Are
in
they like
comparison.
custom made?
Yeah. And that would help then with, because they're so, the pipes are so heavy as well, he can, change the size of the stock, which is where all the beads go in, and based on your physique and your makeup and stuff. So those are things that are very important, because it depends how much, if you're taller, if you're smaller, if you're whatever, and what kind of style of chanter you like then as well. And they're all little things that you don't really think about if you don't play the instrument, but they're extremely unique, and they're just a wonderful instrument once you know how to play them. My poor sister is having to endure a very enthusiastic 10-year-old Tara squeaking away and squawking away on the pipes. You can only imagine the torture that they had to. But I never remember being bad, because I was just so happy that I was getting the sound out of the pipes, and I was so enthusiastic. And my sister said to my mom, "Why did you do this to me?"
On Tara, all through the childhood, the pipes screeching and then.
Yeah, pipes squeaking, then she'd take out a whistle, and then she started tearing away at the fiddle, and then she was playing the banjo, and then she was playing the concertina, and then she was thumping on the piano, and then she was dancing, and then she was singing. Yeah, I'm very lucky that my family still talk to me.
A huge part of your story was obviously river dance and the pipes and stuff, and
Yeah.
that was and obviously now you're doing your own thing and you're flying with that river dance. That must have been an unbelievable experience. Did at the start, like when you were called and got it, did you like obviously yourself, you were probably blown away yourself, but then your friend family, your friends, your parents who were massive music
Yeah.
in the family and stuff. What was that like getting on that?
Oh, it was incredible. Like I'll never forget the whole experience of it. Like just seeing, I suppose it was always kind of, Riverdance growing up was always the pinnacle, it was on every Christmas, and it was always the show. And I remember hearing, like Davie Spillane playing Cuí na cOiceáin, which is the big pipe solo in the show. It's just the pipes for like 4.5 minutes, no one else on stage, and it's just that is the fourth number in the show. And it's a very, Bill Whelan, the composer, he was doing an interview about the 25th anniversary of the show, and he was saying that Cuí na cOiceáin, when he wrote the show, was one of the pieces he was most proud of. Now it's actually 30 years, but we did the 20th or the 25th anniversary. I was honoured that Bill asked me to record the Cuí na cOiceáin, that pipes piece. So originally it was by Davie Spillane, who will always be the iconic version. And if anyone begs to differ, well, he was incredible. He was the original, and his no one could ever touch him on it. And so when Bill asked me to re-record it for the 25th anniversary album, I straight away was like, oh no, like I can't do it. Like this, obviously I said yes, but in my head I was like, oh no, like this is, but sorry to go back to your question. It was that the reason that came about was because I was talking about Davie Spillane and the pipes, and this is me getting distracted. But when I got that call, the first thing that came into my head was, oh my God, the pipes solo, like the, getting to do that Davie Spillane piece, that's so iconic. There was hundreds of things going through my head. At first, I actually thought it was a joke. I thought it was a guy. I was in college, and I thought it was a guy in college making a joke and, videoing
Oh,
it.
you were
And
in college at the time.
yeah, I was in UL. I was studying Irish music in UL, and I got the call, and I was like, oh, I had just started, and I was like, I'm gonna have to go into the office now and say that I am going on tour. But they were all delighted for me, and they couldn't have been happier, they couldn't have been more supportive. And Niall Keegan, the chorus director, I knocked on the door and I was really shy, and I kind of knocked on the door, and I'll never forget Niall just he was just like, "Are you leaving?" And I was like, but I was lucky again that my parents were supportive, and they were like, "College will always be there. You have to take this opportunity. You have to go." And everybody was so supportive and so proud, and my community and everything. And it was amazing, just the support and the excitement, I suppose, because Riverdance is always something that was just on television. I'd never gone to see the show live before. And then I was going to be in it. So went down to Dennis and bought the, now this is back when CDs were still in cars, folks. There was no, well, in our car anyway, we had a CD player, and bought the CD and started listening to it from the top. And I was like, oh my God, I just got goosebumps, like thinking about how it felt in that moment of just, oh my God, that's going to be. And I didn't know, to be honest, I didn't know, was it going to be one tour? I didn't know, were they going to keep me on? I didn't, you don't know, there was, I signed a contract for that tour. You don't sign a contract for a year, you sign a contract for a tour, it's for a
Oh,
tour.
really?
Yeah. I was so excited to be doing that tour. And I just remember the excitement. It was just pure joy. And sure, I went to TK Maxx and bought the biggest God known to earthly man suitcase that I've ever seen in my life. And sure,
Oh,
I,
it's reliable, isn't it? TK Maxx.
yeah, oh, can't beat it. I went in, I bought a huge suitcase. I actually still have the suitcase, it's in the attic. Now, I know they do XL suitcases, but this is actually like, this is, I swear to God, it is huge. And packing so many pairs of leggings and jeans, I had no idea. I hadn't been away for, 4 months before. So I had no idea how much to pack. I didn't know, and then I later learned, it took me one tour to realize, okay, you do not need 10 pairs of leggings and 8 pairs of jeans. You need 3 pairs of jeans, 3 pairs of leggings, and loads of different tops. And then you just wash your leggings and your jeans.
You learn from
Oh my
your
God, did I learn? And sure, then you start shopping along the way and you see things on sale. And when you're in America, obviously things are a lot cheaper, so then you're buying stuff in America and you're coming home with more stuff. And but it was an amazing experience. We went all over the world. We were in UK, we were in all over Europe, literally all over Europe. And then did America, all over America, East Coast, West Coast, Midwest. And then we did Canada. It's huge as well. Sorry, there's an eyelash in my eye. Canada is massive. I didn't realize how big Canada was until we went there. Canada is beautiful part
Massive.
of the world as well. Yeah, huge. And then we did China. So I was in China
Way,
for,
really?
yeah, China for 4 months.
Do you ever get homesick?
Do you know what? We, yes, obviously there was times that I really missed home. But we were just, we were all there together. I feel like if I was traveling on my own, I'd have definitely been homesick. But because we were all kind of on tour together, we were all, everybody was kind of like a little family all together.
And when it was time to, I suppose, step out and on your own, did you it obviously shaped you as a musician, performer, being around the people, I suppose, that were there in Riverdance like that, where there were years. Did you have any, I suppose, any reluctancy, or were you scared to kind of jump out and go into your own?
Yeah, and actually, I was recording with a podcast with a friend yesterday, and I was talking about this. I was just saying how, I knew that it was the right decision for me to make. Obviously, it was scary to make that call because I could have stayed on touring, like I could have still been on tour now. But I just wasn't. I didn't have that same excitement going on a tour. I had 7 years of it done. And I really wanted to release my own music and to write my own music and to, put my band together and start focusing on, I suppose, all the tunes and songs that I've been writing. Not the ones about geography and history, but all the songs and tunes that I've been writing and kind of believe in myself enough to step out on my own, you know. And I had a great time, you know. Obviously there was ups and downs on tour, you know, you're bound to have that, you know. Disclaimer, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows all the time, you know, nothing ever is. And I just knew, like, once I made that decision, I felt this whole kind of new, obviously it was scary, I'm not going to lie, it was scary because I wasn't going to have this weekly wage coming in. Everything was done for me. All I had to do was wake up in the morning. I was told where to be. I was told what time to be there. Everything was laid out for you. All your visas were done. Everything was done. All you had to do was just arrive to Central, check and do your show. And then all of a sudden it was like, wow, everything's on me now, you know. But that's when I started, I suppose, using my own social media and growing my own social media channels and uploading my videos and connecting with my audience again. And I had stopped doing that because I didn't, not that I didn't have time, but I was away so much, and we were doing 9 shows a week on tour. And it was a hectic schedule. And I suppose I kind of knew then when I finished that I was like, right, Tara, come on, you know, you have to kind of just dive into it now and believe in yourself. And when I came home from that last tour, I had told management and everything that this would be my last one and blah, blah, blah. And when I came back home, dad and mom collected me at the airport. And as I just said, I just felt this whole kind of like new beginning. And the last time I felt that was when I joined Riverdance. So it was funny that I felt that same thing when I was leaving. And I think that was actually like a really natural kind of response to it, because it was like, you know, it wasn't that I had resentment. It wasn't that I was, you know, crying or in tears or anything like that. You know, it was like I had a lovely time. It was part of an amazing thing. And now it's, you know, time for a whole new thing and a whole new experience. And dad's a works he's a welder by trade. So he made this beautiful sign that said believe, and he had it put up on our wall at home, made of steel, and he had believe carved out into it. And I was like, oh my God. And he was like, now Tara, that's so you'll believe in yourself for the next chapter. And that's when I bawled my eyes out. I was like, I did not cry for my last show. I didn't cry saying bye to anyone, because, you know, people you're friends with, you're going to stay friends with, you know, a show wasn't gonna change that. But once I saw that, he was like, now you have to believe in yourself. And I was like, that is when the waterworks started. I just burst into tears. And every time we come in home, I see that sign, you know, believe. And I know some neighbors thought that maybe we were turning into born again Christians or something, or they didn't know what this big sign believe was outside the house. Nothing wrong with born again Christians, by the way. No hate at all. Yeah, that was there when I came back home. And yeah, it's the start of this is the start of a whole new chapter, and it's been incredible. I couldn't even have dreamed of the opportunities that have come. As cliche as it sounds, when, you know, one door closes, another one opens, and
And you
this
have got some massive opportunities, like Steven Spielberg, when you performed with him when he was in Ireland. Like, what was that? That must have been
Yeah, so
unbelievable.
he came over to Ireland, and he was actually on a walking tour, and my uncle owns Father Ted's house, and
Oi!
yeah.
Really?
So all my cousins grew up there. Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Would
Now.
you, would you, would they have been involved in any of the shows?
Yeah, the youngest cousin was the baby that was left at the door in one of the episodes.
Are you serious?
Yeah, my other uncle was the robber. My granddad was in the over 75s football. My auntie was the nurse on site.
That's amazing.
The loads of locals were involved in it. Yeah. And my granddad was delighted, because for the full day's filming, you also got the dinner. So it was a great deal. You got paid and you got the dinner, you know. But yeah, so he has a massive farm, and he does like walking tours. And he was working with a guy from England who organizes these international trips. And Steven Spielberg was on one of the trips. and we got to, perform for him, and obviously, didn't take any photos. This was their time off. This is their downtime. We did actually get one photo outside because it wasn't inside. So, and it wasn't me that asked, my aunt asked, so I didn't feel like I was being disrespectful. But he was just fascinated with the pipes, and he was like, "And how do these work? Like how do they work?" And I was showing him, and he was like, "Wow, that's incredible." And he was so normal, like he just. Like there was, I think, 12 or 13 people on that walking tour.
Now, you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, O'Connell, here on Radio Kerry, the last part of the show. If you're just joining us, don't worry because we got you covered. You can now get the interview straight after the show in the podcast section on the Radio Kerry website, or you can now get all the interviews I've done so far, as well as tonight's show, on Spotify or whatever platform you get your podcasts on. Just search for Stand Out with Ian O'Connell.
Excuse me, she was on the same tour, so basically they come to Ireland and kind of more or less a retreat, and they have no phones, no internet, no Wi-Fi, and they just immerse themselves in walking and meditation, and but obviously because of how high profile a lot of them were, it had we weren't allowed to speak about it until a week after they had gone home, because obviously, it would be a complete breach of privacy, and there's so many other reasons why. But yeah, that was incredible. And he actually sent. He went up to my granny's house in Tullaha. God rest her. She passed away earlier this year. But he was fascinated with her and her house. And her house was actually a safe house during the troubles in Ireland.
Really?
Yeah, so she there's a lot of history in that house, and yeah, there's actually I don't know if I can talk about it yet, but there will be a big documentary being done about it soon. It'll be out soon. But yeah, so she remembers so much from when she was younger. And just, everything, it was incredible. I feel like I shouldn't be saying any more about it, but it'll all be out soon. You'll all be able to watch it.
It must have been incredible, though, like you said, and you didn't want to be putting up a picture while he was there, while he was on his downtime, but like to speak to him one on one, and it's great to see people like that that are.
We got one photo with him, and we were holding his walking stick, and he was like, because we were outside and we were about to leave, and my auntie was like, "Could we just get one photo before you leave?" And then she's like, "We won't put it anywhere." And it was, this is a good while ago. This was, oh my God, how many years ago was this? So it was back when, like, it wasn't even an iPhone. It was like a Nokia camera. And the picture's kind of blurry, but we do have it. And I, yeah, waited, I think, a month, and then I put it on my Bebo. Do you remember Bebo?
Bebo, yeah.
Do
Every
you have
time I hear
Bebo?
Bebo, I just think of Nidge and Love Hate saying I'm updating my Bebo. Every time I hear that, I just think of that straight away.
That straight away, yeah. Oh,
But
sorry.
before we finish up, I wanted to say to you, do you know the way, like you said there, nowadays traditional music is so popular amongst young people, and there's a stereotype there sometimes, like Irish people, they just go and get drunk. Other people around the world kind of think that it's important to, I think, show like the, I suppose, and the song, wherever you go around the world, you find an Irish pub. It's so true, and it's so important to show our own, I suppose, traditions and stuff through music, and not have that stereotype about Irish people. You want the rest of the world to know us for the likes of the traditional music.
Yeah, 100%, and I feel very strongly about that as well. I think there's so much more like that Ireland has to offer than just, as you said, the stereotypical image that it's given, and Ireland's culture is so rich in music, our language, and there's so much more there, our dancing, there's so many different styles of dancing as well, not just one style of dancing. You have set dancing, Seanó's dancing, you have, Irish step dancing, and you know, all of the, you know, we have two national instruments, the harp and the Uilleann pipes. And I, yeah, it's very, and that's something that I feel very passionate about as well, is that you can showcase Ireland without all the cheesiness of, you know, throwing in that for it to be for a bit of a laugh and whatever, because, you know, our culture is so rich that, you know, we don't need to shower it with other nonsense, you know, to make it, oh, that's the picture of Ireland, you know.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with you. There's obviously other hats you have to wear as a musician, like social media. It's all important as well, isn't it? There's the negative side, obviously, but then the positive side for promoting your music and everything. As a musician, it is important, social media, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I actually, to be honest, I know there's negative sides of it as well, but, you know, for the most part, I found it to be very positive. It's been a great asset to my career, and it's allowed me to share my music to, you know, lots of different audiences that I suppose I wouldn't have had the access to if I didn't have social media. And there's so many benefits to uploading a video and it getting shared in, you know, lots of different countries. And I'm going to America next year with on tour with my own band. And I know
that'll be amazing.
Yeah, I'm very excited. So just say a prayer for my visa and everything to be all approved in time.
You don't have Riverdance to be doing all that for you now.
No, exactly. I know. But I'm actually heading to America for an event in November, and just for 3 days. But it's very, you know, it's very exciting to know that because of, you know, social media and the audiences that I've built up, I have, you know, I made like this mailing list just to kind of see, you know, how many people that follow me actually would care if I was in their city or something, you know. And I just kind of sent out like a feeder email to know if there'd be any venues that might like to have me perform with, you know, in their pubs and stuff. And that's because I, you know, because I'm an independent artist, I don't have someone that's doing that for me. And the response was just unbelievable. Right. Yeah, incredible. And the amount of help from people saying, you know, I have a pub here, we have two rooms above it, we'd love to have you there, you know, you and your dad, and dad's coming over with me. And then we'll just, you know, join with musicians from each state then. So that's kind of part of what I want to do as well. I want to bring in musicians from the different states that we're going to and get to perform with them. And, you know, that I know that that's all, it's all part of, I suppose, my whole life, but also because of social media and because of the reach that, you know, videos have gotten to. And, you know, I do spend a lot of time building up that audience online as well. So hopefully it all goes well and that people like the songs and the tunes and they leave feeling a little bit happier.
I'm sure they will. Tara, thanks so much for coming on now, and I appreciate your time and all the best for whatever is next in America. And give my regards to the family and your dad and everyone, all right?
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Now, unfortunately, that's all we've time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I really appreciate you tuning in as always. I just want to say a massive thanks to Tara for coming on tonight and sharing her story and the beacon that she's keeping lit of traditional music. I suppose she can be a role model to people that are looking up to people that are playing like Tara at 14. Maybe not 14 that you might start off with, but I suppose when you get to Tara's experience, you might be able to play 14 like her. And I've no doubt in another 10 years that'll be 28 that Tara will be able to play different instruments. So I just want to say a massive thanks to Tara for coming on tonight and sharing her story with us. If you have any suggestions, questions or requests before next week's show, you can get in contact with me through my Instagram enoconnell321, or you can send me an email to my email address ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. I hope you're all having a great week so far. Stay tuned in here to Radio Kerry, because Brian Priestley is up next with That's Jazz. Before we finish up tonight, I just want to say a massive, massive best of luck to my my good buddy Kevin Cronin, the Kingdom Warrior, the boxer here from Kerry. He's fighting for a belt on Friday night against Cathal Crowley, which will be a brilliant fight. And I know that Kevin's putting in massive work in the gym over the last number of weeks, and he seems to never not be in camp, because whenever I'm talking to him, he's always training. And I suppose A happy fighter is a dangerous fighter, like they say, and I've no doubt that Kevin will go and do the business on Friday night up in Dublin in the National Stadium, and I'm looking forward to watching him compete. So the very best of luck to Kevin, and hopefully he'll be bringing that belt back to Kerry. I'll be back at the same time next week from 8 to 9 p.m. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself.
You're listening to Standout with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8 p.m. here on Radio Kerry.